Gentlemen, what is up? What is good? Dylan Eckes here with the Inner Man Show, episode 38, a podcast by men for men. If you're a new listener, welcome. If not, thank you for coming back and joining in our conversation. The Inner Man Show is dedicated to helping men solve their problems, starting with their mental health and expanding outwards. Accountability, ownership, self-sufficiency are just some of the things we promote at the IMP. So if you're ready to take your personal development to new levels and become the best father, husband, son, friend, and community leader you can be, this is the show for you. As always, the episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle is a beard grooming essentials online store based out of Vancouver, BC. Head over to The Beard Struggle today and check out their entire list of products. They have shampoos, conditioners, oils, balms, combs, bags. The website is www.thebeardstruggle.com and use discount code INNERMAN for 15% off. That's discount code INNERMAN for 15% off your next purchase. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/The Inner Man Project, on Instagram at InnerManYXH, as well as Twitter at InnerManYXH. The Inner Man Project Foundation is proud to announce its hashtag Unmasked Masculinity peer-led group sessions are now being held in Calgary, Alberta. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can join Anthony Hart and Shane Smith at the Scarborough United Church. This is a great opportunity to discuss any mental health concerns you may have and connect with community resources or simply connect with other men. If you're looking for more information, you can send us an email at innermanyxh@gmail.com. CBD North uses the best all-natural ingredients and use third-party lab tests to ensure their products meet the standards that all Canadians deserve. Based in Vancouver, BC, their team of experts are ready to ship in any city, town, village, hockey rink, or summer cottage in Canada within 2 to 5 business days. To show their commitment to fellow Canadians, they created the very first ever CBD assistance program in Canada. For those in need, they are providing 45% discount on all full price orders. Whether you're receiving COVID relief funds in CRB or EI, whether you're a post-secondary student, person on long-term disability, person in low-income households, active military personnel, a military veteran, a first responder, including firemen, police officers, and EMTs, or a senior over 65, they have oils, creams, gummies, and even products for your dog. This isn't a paid advertisement. This is us supporting an amazing cause. Skylar Roth is going to be running across Canada this summer, raising awareness for mental health. For the next 6 months, they're doing a fundraiser each week. At the end of each month, they're going to donate $5 per sale to 4 Miles, 4 Smiles. They're also matching $1,000 in total donations. Check out CBD North on Instagram at NorthWellnessCBD and check out Skylar's Instagram at Miles4SmilesCanada. Again, this is an amazing cause and we at the Inner Man Project Foundation cannot be more pumped for this amazing and inspirational event. Huge shout out goes over to the people at Myrtle and May and a huge shout out to Tasha Chenard for designing these mental health ribbons. We appreciate and love the donations. Make sure to follow Myrtle and May at Myrtle and May on Instagram. And guys, if you're enjoying the content, if you're enjoying the podcast, if you hear something or find something valuable on the show from us or one of our guests, all we ask is you please let us know. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave a review on Apple, leave a review on YouTube. And if you really enjoy a specific episode, make sure you share it with a friend. Today's podcast, we were joined by Amber Romaniuk. Amber is an emotional eating, digestive, and hormone expert who helps professional women achieve their optimal health through mindful eating, self-care, and overcoming self-sabotage with food. Her podcast, the No Sugar Coating Podcast, has over 1 million downloads, over 300 episodes, and has been listened to over 88 countries. She was featured on TV personality Whitney Poor's podcast, and Amber has also appeared on local TV more than 50 times in the last 3 years alone. Amber overcame her emotional eating after gaining and losing more than 1,000 pounds in the span of 8 years and spending over $50,000 on binge foods and spending 5 years trying to balance her hormones and digestion. Now she helps others achieve a body freedom so they can have the confidence and health to create amazing lives. Today, she joins us to discuss the stigma around men and emotional eating and eating disorders. This was an absolutely fantastic podcast. Amber is a very inspirational human being. She's very well read. She's very smart and an intellect in this field. And we really hope you enjoy the show. Hi, Amber. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm good. I'm good. You're in Calgary area, right?
Yeah, in Airdrie.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. I want to say thank you for doing the Inner Man Show. You have a successful podcast of your own. I'll let you introduce yourself to the listeners, but thank you so much for doing this. It's an important conversation to have. Amber, why don't you give listeners a little introduction of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, thank you so much. And I appreciate it because this is a very important conversation. And so my name is Amber Romaniak. I'm an emotional eating, digestive and hormone expert. And I primarily coach women all over the world and help them really take their power back with food and their bodies and learn self-love and learn how to really be so in tune and heal on a deep level and undo all the programming they've received, you know, that's made not just women, of course, but men insecure as well. And I have coached men as well. And it's always the same kinds of mindsets and behaviors, regardless of if it's a man or a woman. And yeah, then I have the No Sugar Coating podcast, which is listened to in over 88 countries and has over a million downloads now. And it's just such a great way to share my experiences of overcoming food addiction. I gained and lost 1,000 pounds in like 5 years in my mid 20s when I was battling with food addiction and body image issues and self-hate and diets. And, you know, going through that experience was such a blessing because I wouldn't have my business if it wasn't for the deep struggle and then really going, you know what, like this isn't meant to be my life. I'm not meant to be in this vicious cycle of self-loathing and punishing myself with food and negative self-talk and exercise. And then, you know, being alone, being broke, having a crappy job, hanging out at home, not wanting to see anybody. So, you know, going through that really birthed my business. And here we are 8 years later and thousands of clients later, and just so grateful to be having these conversations because they are so swept under the rug and really helping people, you know, gain the power back that they've probably never had.
That's absolutely phenomenal. The fact that you were able to gain and lose 1,000 pounds in that short amount of time, that's incredible. What for you with your struggles with food and your struggles, your emotional struggles with food, what was it for you? Was it growing up? Was it trauma? Was it something in your past?
Yeah, great question. So there was a few like key series of events that I feel like happened that really shaped the relationship with food. And I feel like that's how it is for everybody. So the first key experience was I was 5 years old. We just moved out to the country. It was my first day going on the school bus. And the older boys bullied me. They called me fat. They called me ugly. And then like the whole bus just started like laughing at me and making fun of me. And it was mortifying. I was completely humiliated. And when you're that young, like I don't think many five-year-olds have confidence and know how to brush a comment like that off. So you take it on and believe it because you go, well, a stranger said this to me. It must be true. And so that then growing up, you know, just with like all the junk food available all the time, like my mom had a very addictive relationship with food as well. And a very, you know, unhealthy relationship with her body. So I really, you know, she would always talk about how much she hated her body and how she needed to lose weight. And I'd always find like empty wrappers in the drawers. And so you just think that like, it's normal. And then you start to be insecure and dislike your body. And so definitely some parental environmental stuff, not blaming them, but you just start to observe as you heal, like where you picked all this subconscious programming up from. And I think the other biggest thing was the programming that I received from TV, the content I was consuming, Hollywood, the entertainment industry, magazines, right? Like all the photoshopping that I thought was like real bodies, real women with these flat stomachs and these like what society deems this perfect body that is it really perfect? No. Like, is that kind of perfection attainable? No, we're just sold this illusion. And so growing up, like being obsessed with certain celebrities and singers and, you know, actresses and things like that, you just literally see these images everywhere all the time. And it gets so programmed into your subconscious that this is how I need to look. If I want to have money and success and love and attention, I have to fit into this box. And there must be something wrong with me because I don't fit into that box. Right. And so then we're programmed, well, you don't fit into that box. You should diet. You should restrict. You should exercise more. Right. And then like you just take on this identity and start learning all these rules and fighting with your body and fighting with food. And then the next thing you know, you don't have a healthy relationship with your body or food. You're not in tune. You don't know how to listen to your body. You're now learning all these rules. Carbs are bad. Fats are bad. Like you need to not eat breakfast. Like, food fears are created and it debilitates a person's opportunity to have a mindful relationship with food and their body. And so going through all of that really skewed my body image and you know, doing vegan to fix things, trying to be paleo, trying to reduce fruit intake and like all these different things is just like ridiculous, the kinds of diets I was going on in my preteens and teens. And so all of that is what really got me to this place of such disempowerment, where it's like, your worth is without you. Your worth is not within you. It's the way you look. It's the kind of car you drive. It's the kind of clothes you wear. Like, it's so shoved down our throats, mm-hmm. our external identity, versus like, your worth is within you and it's there, but we get disconnected from it.
Yeah. So Dylan and I have actually spoke about this a few times of, you know, we make a joke about the boomers not really understanding nutrition and things of that sort. So I can kind of relate with you regarding the nutrition part growing up. I kind of grew up on pizza pops and mini pizzas and stuff like that and chips and whatever. Luckily, you know, I was like a 130 pound kid up until grade 12, and all those negative nutrition stuff that I've developed over time. When I went to college, I put on 50 pounds in a year. So I ballooned up from 130 to 180, and that's a big jump. And then after that, I got a job behind a desk in the office, and you know, I wasn't doing much for physical activity anymore and stuff like that. And then I ballooned up another 35 pounds. So I understand what you're saying in terms of that. And it was just not understanding and not given the proper balance growing up. And I think it's so important. And I'm not sure if it's really getting thrown around in schools as much these days, but it should be.
Yeah. I agree. No. You know, one of the things you touched on, Amber, was fitting into a box. And I had something very similar growing up. I moved to a country school myself. I was always athletic. I was always very competitive. But you go out to a new school, big farm kids, you got to start putting on some size. You got to start working out harder, training harder just to be competitive. And what I was programming myself to do was I was seeing these high competitive athletes. I was seeing these bodybuilders. And, you know, that was when, you know, The Rock was starting to get bigger. So you see it in mainstream movies. And, you know, growing up, my dad was watching The Terminator and Rambo. And, you know, I saw these big muscular men. And when you become 16, 17, 18 years old, you start realizing, oh, the only way to look like that is by consuming more food and training heavy. And so when I started my bodybuilding, that's when my issues with food really took off, because I was never big enough in the off season and I was never lean enough pre-contest. So I had this yin and yang of, I was literally forcing myself to eat massive amounts of food to the point where I was getting sick. And then I was starving myself to the point in competition prep where I was literally fainting and getting dizzy. Right. So I think more people, we have a men's group and a men's circle that we do twice a week. And one of the things that I know a lot of men struggle with, but they don't want to talk about, and there's a big stigma around men's mental health, but obviously there's more of a stigma around men and eating. Why do you think there's such a stigma attached to eating disorders, and maybe even specifically in men?
Yeah. And thank you guys for sharing what you have. I think there's such a stigma because men are taught that you have to just be these tough guys, right? It's like, it's just like the conditioning for a woman. Like, woman has to have a flat stomach and be like 110 pounds or whatever, and she's perfect. A man has to have a six pack and like muscles, and like, you just have to be strong all the time. And I think the hugest problem with that is it doesn't matter like what sex you are. Like, we all have emotions, and it's not weak for a man to express his emotions. And in fact, holding all of that inside is very unhealthy for our physical health. It creates dis-ease. It creates mental health issues. It's called depression for a reason, because you're suppressing. And at some point, it really has a significant impact on your mood and your, not only that, but like your energy, right? So to me, women have been programmed just like men have, in the sense of, you've been programmed by the movies, by the, right, like all of the things we see in the media and social media. And it's like, you have to fit into this box to be good enough. You're not a real man if you don't look this way. You're not a real man if you don't behave a certain way, and you're not macho. I think masculinity is such a like admirable quality in a man. And but to see the blend of like we all have feminine and masculine energy. It'd be like if a woman was just fully masculine and like, I don't need your help, I can do everything on my own. It's unattractive. It'd be the same if a man was just masculine or just feminine. It's like bringing the blend of both together. Like when a man can be strong and be protective, and at the same time also then show love and nurturing and show that they are also like vulnerable, it's so freaking attractive. But most men have been taught, don't cry, be strong, like put on your face and like just go out and, you know. But then we also have this other thing that's happening right now where it's like bad to be masculine and like shaming masculinity, which is so wrong. Like you have testosterone for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so many agendas going on in the world to like skew and confuse people. And it's that's why it's so important for men and women to both do their deeper work and build your worthiness so that you can own the masculine, you can own your emotions, and you can work through the, you know, the issues that you have with your mindset. Because the unhealthy relationship with food is born in the mind. It's born from the behavior growing up with your parents and how they ate and how they got you to eat. Did they put you on diets? Did they let you eat whatever you wanted? And then when you get on the internet and you start reading about diets, right? Like the bodybuilding fuels such an all or nothing black and white mentality. And so do a lot of diets and programs. And so you're literally being told you have to be perfect. And if you can't be perfect, then people are falling way the other way. And when you're constantly being told you have to be perfect or you're not enough, well, why does like 98% of the population think they're not good enough? Because their body doesn't fit the mold they've been programmed in the mind to fit into. And so then we end up insecure. And then it's like, well, of course I can't, you know, show my emotions and express myself and just be myself, because I'm so afraid to be judged by society. I don't want to be judged as not masculine if I'm a man. I don't want to be judged as not beautiful if I'm a woman. And so that's why dealing with the mental health and starting to understand where your programming came from and how the kind of content you're consuming is just as, if not more, potentially hazardous than the food that you're eating and the diets that you're trying, because we're born worthy. We get deprogrammed that we're not, but we can reprogram ourselves that we are.
Yeah. Well, like you mentioned too, that stigma is what a lot of these men hold on to. And we see it in our groups constantly. And contrary to misbelief, what my people think, body image is a huge topic for us all the time. Yeah. We have guys that'll stand on scales 16 times a day. Mm-hmm. They develop a lot of weight issues and self-confidence and stuff like that. And for people to understand that body image is just as important for men as it is for women, especially like you said, like when you look at Hollywood and The Rock and, you know, individuals like that, you want to follow suit and you want to look like that. But mm-hmm. and a lot of people don't have the understanding of what it takes to get there either. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a lot of that misconception around that, you know, men don't struggle with their own body image.
Well, oh, yeah. And just like I think of the feminine culture with dieting, I look at the men's culture and I see the exact same thing. So we either have to be looking like Jay Cutler and Ronnie Coleman or The Rock, or we say, screw it. And we can eat and drink whatever we want. And it doesn't matter what we feel like or look like. And it's just like, well, there's no happy medium there. Have you ever researched Dr. Trevor Cashy, Amber?
No.
So he's a professional strongman and he's a doctor. But his biggest thing is going back to what you said about traumas and programming. And what he relates it to is just you develop habits, whether they're good habits or bad habits. You know, we go to the bathroom at certain times in the morning. We have certain rituals for going to work or going to bed. And he says it's the same thing with food, but it's a program. Like you said, it's over time we develop, whether they're good or bad habits, they're habits with food. And we get that from previous traumas. We get that from previous programming. I remember growing up, we ate, I would say 80% of the time we ate homemade food. Mm-hmm. And then you realize that homemade food doesn't have to be scalloped potatoes and hot dogs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, oh, just because we're eating homemade food doesn't mean it's good, healthy, nutritious food. Right. And then it was the exact opposite. I got into the bodybuilding industry and it was like, if you ate an extra green bean on your diet with a competition prep, you might as well give up and just go eat a burger, because it was the exact same thing. And it's just like, you were conditioned with like the world is on opposite sides of the spectrums. And where we see that with everything, and even in mm-hmm. the diet and nutrition culture, for when you sit down with a client or you try to, you know, have these conversations with them, what's kind of the first step and the first thing you do with somebody who's new to this conversation, who is struggling with their diet and their lifestyle?
Well, it's really to look at their relationship with food and why they have the relationship with food and their body that they do, because like the diet is just disconnecting them more from having any awareness or building a healthy relationship with food in their body. And so it's like, okay, are you struggling with emotional eating? Did you know there's different levels of emotional eating? And emotional eating is any reason for eating other than physical nourishment. So boredom, eating and watching TV, eating because you're angry, seeing visually a food and then you can't stop thinking about it and then you eat it and lose control. You know, emotional eating could be like, I'm stressed or I get triggered and I eat half a chocolate bar, to like, I eat half a chocolate bar and then it triggers me to like eat half the cupboard, to, you know, full blown food addiction where you literally are obsessing about food all the time and you're either in deep restriction or you're in deep loss of control. And then some people of course go through binging and purging as well. And the purge is really about, well, the binge is about not taking ownership and responsibility for your emotions. And the purge is even furtherly not taking responsibility for, you know, the self-sabotage that's already happened. And there's such a deep that self-hate that comes along with, you know, that kind of behavior. And so it's first helping the person build awareness around what kind of relationship with food do you have, and that it stems from unworthiness. It stems from a void, this lack of self-love that's been programmed into us. And I really think, and this is just my opinion, but I think that the television and the technology that we consume has done us such a disservice because we've been brainwashed to idolize people outside of ourselves. So we don't know The Rock. We don't know what he's doing. Nobody knows him personally, yet people put him on a pedestal and like literally kill themselves to try and look like him and completely can ruin their life because they're so obsessed and giving their power away. And so to me, we need to stop idolizing all these people that we don't know. I don't care how famous they are, how many followers they have, how many deals they get, because it's not helping society. If it didn't have an impact, we wouldn't be so sick. We wouldn't be so unwell, and we wouldn't be spending so much time out of our power. And so to me, we've got to stop the idolizing. We've got to be willing to get uncomfortable and to get courageous and go, this is my stuff. I want to figure out where it came from. And it's not just the food, it's everything else in my environment that I've been taking into my mind. And so that's for me how I really start working with someone and helping them understand it's not their fault. And like, we've been deceived as a society and we've been taken advantage of and we've been taught incorrectly and we haven't been set up for success when it comes to how to take care of ourselves mentally, physically, and emotionally, when it comes to nutrition. Like, the food guide to me is a joke. Eating 10 servings of dairy a day, eating 10 servings of grains a day. Like, when you start to research the food industry and you start to research the connections between food and pharma and media and like the corruption that exists, you go through your anger, but then you take your power back and you go, you know what? This is on me. This is my responsibility to heal, and I'm going to do it. So a bit of a ramp, but to me, like, that's where it starts and where we go, and people unravel these limiting beliefs and create better programming, better conditioning, and they fill the void, and then they love themselves, and then they're not idolizing and giving their power away and punishing themselves all the time.
So one thing I'll touch on with the idolizing part, I used to, and I still have a few clients with competition prep, but I've trained well over 350 women to hit the stage. I would say 99% of them had some sort of binging or purging issue with food. And it would absolutely break my heart when, this isn't always women too, this is men, because I would train men who would fast for 3 or 4 days because they ate 15,000 calories in a day, in their off season. And they would fast for 3 or 4 days afterwards thinking that's healthy. And then you would train these athletes who they're your clients, but they have 300,000 followers on Instagram. And now all of a sudden you got new people coming to you saying, I want to look like your client. And I'm like, I don't think you do because you don't understand what this person's going through and what we're struggling with in the off season just to get them to stage. And what I would do is I would train these girls, and most of the girls I trained, I would take over And then they would never compete again because I would get them to a point where they didn't need to compete to have that self-worth. Cause that's what a lot of bodybuilding is.
That validation.
Yeah, that validation. But most of the women I trained after came to me after a competition because they were on 900 calories a day for 16 weeks. And now they've gained 60 pounds in the span of 3 months because their metabolism's out of control. Their relationship with food is out of control. They're doing hours of cardio because they ate an extra spoonful of peanut butter. It's like, you're destroying yourself from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And that isn't just women. That is 100% men. Mm-hmm. The men that we talk to in our groups, the men that we talk to online. How many times, Shane, have you heard guys talk about stress eating? When they get anxious, they don't eat for days at a time.
Almost every time.
Almost every single guy that we talk to. And it's just like, well, yeah, that's called either it's a food addiction or it's an emotional eating issue. Mm-hmm. And they're not recognizing it for what it is because, well, number one, they're not educated. But number two, as a man, it is difficult enough coming to grips with addiction. Could you imagine looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, I'm addicted to food or mm-hmm. have an issue with food?
Right. Yeah. That'd be the toughest thing I think for, especially if like we all chat about all the time is the mm-hmm. stigma behind addiction and mental health and the correlation and people not understanding the correlation, mm-hmm. To throw in food that would be a tough pill to swallow for men, because that's like, it seems something that's so manageable in, you know, in society, mm-hmm. but it really isn't. It is a tough thing to work your way around and use your head and be like, well, you know, food is really easy. This is not this is not an addiction. This is something I can figure out on my own, mm-hmm. but it very easily can be just as negative as any using a drug or alcohol.
Totally.
Yeah. Exactly. On that. And that's because a lot of the foods are designed to excite the same part of the brain as heroin or a hard drug. So you have refined sugar, for example, that's 10 times more addictive than cocaine. You have the casein, which is the protein in dairy, highest in cheese, which excites the same opioid-like receptors as heroin. You have aspartame, you have MSG, which increases appetite levels. Aspartame increases blood sugar more than regular sugar, yet we're marketed these products. And if we're not educated and we don't do our homework, you see the shiny box with all the marketing, you don't flip over and read the ingredients and see the five kinds of aspartame, sugar, fake dyes, etc. And you just impulsively buy it because you trust the big company that's selling it to you. And that's another big problem is we just trust all these big corporations too easily without doing our research, understanding them. Like, no human wants to think a company doesn't have my greatest good in mind, but addiction wouldn't be so big if food wasn't made in a lab. And so that's where it's also important to recognize the addiction is not your fault, because the food has literally been tested to a T to excite our serotonin and dopamine levels and give us such a perfect hit that we have this pleasure response. And the pleasure response numbs us from feeling our emotions. It distracts us. And then we actually keep that pleasure memory in our hippocampus, which is the pleasure center of the brain. And so every time after that you have a bad day or you have stress or you get on the scale and you don't see the number that you want to see or whatever triggers you, that part of your brain lights up and goes, oh, but remember when you ate that food and you felt really good, you should do that again. There's no part of the brain that stores how crappy you feel after, the guilt, the want to go and exercise or whatever that like after emotional eating or self-sabotage looks like. And so these foods are literally wired to do this to us. And then talk about mental health issues, because a lot of these ingredients, especially for men, like the fake yellow, blue, red dyes and a lot of the pre-workouts and the protein powders and things like that, the aspartame, bad for testosterone, bad for sex drive, bad for mood, yet it's being pushed on you guys all the time. And a lot of guys just don't even look at the ingredients, right?
Two weeks ago, an actual conversation I just had 2 weeks ago. The client said to me, I'm drinking 2 kombuchas a day. Should I replace it with Mio or Crystal Light? And I was like, no, absolutely not. Like, first of all, good for you for drinking kombucha, because I can't stomach it. But like, why would it's 12 extra grams of natural sugar from fruit. Like, I'm reading the container and I'm like, this is an actual product that's good for you. but because you see a number that represents calories, you think you have to get rid of it. And it's like,
yeah,
oh, it just drives me bonkers. It really does. Because here's the thing about what we're talking about is, and so there's 2 points I'll make to this. Number one, the information is out there. All of this information is out there. All of this information is literally a quick Google search. It's one of the things on Google that's not being censored right now. Uh-huh. Is you can literally go and read about calories and read about sugar, and they're not hiding this information.
No.
Number two, there's a lot of guys in the bodybuilding and fitness realm that I really admire. And one of them is Lane Norton. But the reason why I'm having a hard time lately understanding this is because I'm becoming more educated with the mental health side of things. So when I hear people say, well, you know, obesity or anorexia is something that's manageable, I'm thinking, well, you're thinking in terms of it being a calorie in and out and a diet issue. And this is a severe mental health issue.
Yeah.
But just like any other mental health issue, it's masked by the way we feel or a fake smile or the way we carry ourselves. What are some of the signs and symptoms that if we have somebody in our life that might be struggling or we think is struggling, what are some of those signs and symptoms that we can start looking for?
Definitely. So I think a big part of it is they're likely talking a lot about food. They're talking about the new diet that they're on. They're talking about how they have to stick to it. They are shaming themselves if they had a bad day or if they, you know, ate something they quote unquote weren't supposed to. So there's usually a lot of dialogue around that. They may talk about their weight a lot, right? Oh, I need to lose weight. I need to lose weight. I need to lose weight. Even if it's just a few pounds, right? Or they're talking about how they're frustrated with their weight. So there's a lot of chat around both of those things. And then again, the guilt with food. Oh man, I shouldn't eat that. Like, I'm not supposed to eat that right now. It's not in my diet. And something that I find that a lot of people, because I did this too when I struggled with my food addiction, is I started to just say I couldn't eat a lot of foods because I was sensitive to them, because I wasn't ready to tell people what I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so we birthed this whole new eating disorder called orthorexia nervosa, which is a fear of eating anything but like a small handful of, you know, 10 to 20 foods that you feel you won't lose control with, or that they won't mess up the weight or the progress. And so the food fear thing has become so real. So if you're observing someone who's like just eating very extremely and eating very restrictively and like just absolutely, you know, refusing to eat anything but this little pool of foods, that's likely another sign that there is a deep food fear, potentially, you know, some kind of emotional relationship with food. And they're often in quite a low mood. There's a lot of sadness. There's lots of anger, guilt, shame, embarrassment. Something physically that you may notice, because this was me 1,000 pounds in 5 years, like my weight was up and down 30, 40, 50 pounds, like every 3 or 4 months. So you may notice the person is like gaining a bunch of weight one time when you see them, and then you see them the next time and they've lost the weight again. And so if they're constantly on that roller coaster, they are definitely dealing with some kind of, you know, emotional relationship with food and a deeper self-worth struggle. You know, somebody who's also just in a lot of negative self-talk, I'm not good enough, I'm stupid, I can't believe I did that, I need to, you know, be stronger. Like, they're just constantly beating themselves up, right? Like, that's just a sure sign that there's a lot of unworthiness going on and likely something going on with mental health. One other thing I just want to like touch on, because I think this also fuels the mental health struggle. So everything we've been talking about, but then you have things like gut flora issues. So when someone has really poor gut flora, that is a significant negative impact on your mental health. When you have hormone imbalances going on, especially for a man, like low testosterone, adrenal fatigue, cortisol issues, like that will have a significant impact on your mental health. So it's, there are specific physical imbalances that could be going on in the body that are amplifying everything else that we've been talking about also.
Go ahead, Jen.
You know, no, I'm just kind of observing and listening, because I'm actually, there's a few people that kind of been struggling that are close to me with kind of this, the same situation. So I'm just, kind of taking it all in right now and just seeing how I can help in my realm of things here. So,
so there's a couple of things that I'll touch on is, so in the bodybuilding industry, you can really tell which guys are struggling, because they'll consistently talk about their cheat meals or how much they've eaten. And it's like, oh, that's a huge insecurity for you. Mm-hmm. Because when I was at my healthiest point bodybuilding, which is actually right now, I eat when I want to eat. I don't push my body. I feel good when I eat. Like one of the things that I do naturally, and this is advice from a dietitian, was eat when you want to eat, not when you think you have to. And I was like, oh, that makes total sense. And because of that, I eat every day at around lunchtime. I miss my breakfast. And why do I miss my breakfast? Because by noon, if I have food in the morning, I feel like garbage. And so, but I'm not eating, I'm not starving myself. My last meal of the day is after my workout, which is at 11:30 at night. So it's like, I'm not going 20 hours without food every single day, you know? So one of the things that I noticed in the bodybuilding industry and just in life in general, actually, is like people who are insecure about their food will laugh it off. And I feel fat today, or, you know, I had junk food last night. I had this garbage food, and they hype it up as it's like a funny thing. It's like, it's not funny eating 10 cheeseburgers in one sitting. Like it's not healthy in any aspect, any way, shape or form. That's not good for you. And so when I think about what you're saying, also when it comes to the hormonal thing, I was on anabolic steroids from the time I was 21 till the time I was 20, 25, roughly straight. So about 3.5-4 years straight. And one of the things that I struggled with was the hormonal issues. So I was loading my body up on massive amounts of protein, casein, like you were talking about. My gut bacteria was at an all-time low because I would get sick and I would get thrown on all these antibiotics. And you take the steroids and all these supplements that are supposed to be healthy for you. It was just a cascade of hormonal BS and bullshit. And so when I, you know, took a step back from bodybuilding and I started truly getting healthy with my hormones, that's when I realized, oh, I have a lot more issues going on. You know, my mom had cancer from, had colon cancer. Maybe I should start looking at my colon and my stomach health. And then it became, well, now I need to talk about my liver health. And now I need to talk about my gut flora and the foods that I'm eating and the purpose of the foods that I'm eating and the habits that I'm getting into with it. It all came full circle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And everything is so connected. And I went through that too. And this is the key though, because this is something that I learned the hard way when I was struggling with binge eating. I was working at a health clinic and they gave me free testing. They're like, you want to see if you have candida here? You can do this test and we'll see if you have it. And my case came back as the worst case that this doctor had seen in her 12 years of practice from all the binge eating, the sugar and the antibiotic use growing up as well. And so I was still trying to figure out like my whole issue with food. And they're like, okay, the only way you can get rid of this is if you take these heavy antifungals and only eat like animal protein, green vegetables, and non-fungal nuts. No fruit, no starchy vegetables. They're like, this is the only way. And I was like, well, obviously I want to get rid of it. So I was like, I'll try it and see what happens. And so I turned yellow. I went through like extreme detox. I was so sick. And then it fueled binge eating because it was far too restrictive. And so it's always so important that if you are dealing with any kind of emotional relationship with food, before you go into detox, before you, you know, think about maybe minimizing the consumption of certain foods, that you deal with the emotional piece first, because otherwise you're not going to reap the benefits of balancing the gut flora. Your hormones are not going to balance properly. If you're trying to take a bunch of vitamins and, you know, a few days a week, you're on this cleanse and things are going well, and then you're falling way off the other way for a few days. So always deal with the emotional relationship with food first, and don't do anything restrictive because it will fuel rebellion. And then you will be back where you started, probably worse off. And so after I went through that experience, I was like, I can't do anything restrictive. I healed my relationship with food, came back and dealt with a candida, but I didn't really cut anything out. And I ate fruit and I ate natural sugars and things like that and had no issue. But it, again, it's just another diet that can really skew our mental health. And then we're feeling even more guilty because we're going, I'm trying to get healthier, but I'm messing it up. I can't do it.
There we are. Sorry, you froze for a second. We weren't sure what was going on.
Shane, you had...
I just wanted to say, obviously we identified that men struggle with their body image as much as women, or equally, or they do. When it comes to helping them, because obviously there's the high spectrum where you need to look like this, or the low spectrum, like, don't worry about it, you're fine who you are. How do we find that middle ground to, you know, service our men and kind of give them the right direction of where to go, like in terms of being healthy, nutritional wise, taking care of themselves, even if they're not willing right away to start lifting weights or anything like that, just to get on a properly balanced diet.
Totally. So I think the key is to start like, what is your direction? Like, why are you doing this? And if you're doing it because you need to look a certain way, don't even bother, right? Work on your self-worth. What are your insecurities? What traumas did you go through that you need to address? Take your power back and stop giving it away to people outside of yourself. Are you a people pleaser? Are you a perfectionist? That all stems from unworthiness. Deal with those things. Learn how to set healthy boundaries. Learn how to say no. Learn how to ask for help, right? Like, slowly start stepping into vulnerability and expressing your emotions and having a self-care routine, whether it's mindful movement, not movement to punish yourself, right? There's a big difference. Maybe you get into things like meditation, or maybe it's like you have a certain breathing routine that you do, or I don't know, whatever it is for you. Like, I know one of the things my boyfriend loves to do is we have an infrared sauna, and he'll go in there and he's detoxing, he's sweating, and he gets to meditate at the same time. And it's so great, right? So there's like things that you just try different things and you find like your key tools that you can use to help you process and feel your emotions, because you need those healthy outlets. And then I think it's so important to look at your current relationship with food. If you're struggling with emotional eating, if you feel very confused and overwhelmed about food, you have food fears, or like all the diets have just skewed your perception. I think it's so important to work on ditching diets and actually learning how to nourish your body with whole foods. And it's like eating as close to nature as possible, ditching cheat meals, get rid of that word. That word is just like so not good, because it's just like, okay, I'm going to just binge all day today because it's my cheat day. So it's about mindfulness. What is mindfulness? You deal with your relationship with food. You start understanding what's triggering you to emotionally eat. You ditch the diet mentalities. And mindful eating is really about sitting and eating without distraction so that you can become attuned to your body and you can stop when you're full. You are not going to lose control with your weight. You're not going to become more unhealthy if you sit and eat mindfully and stop when you're full. That's such an important cue to learn with your body. And as you do that, you don't need to count calories. You don't need to count macros. You can let go of that and go with like, okay, I want to make sure I have good quality fats. I want to make sure I've got good proteins. I want good carbohydrates, right? And there's also room for that mindful indulgence. So if you're going out for a nice meal tonight at your favorite restaurant and you want to have your favorite thing and it's different than what you usually have, you give yourself permission. You eat it slowly and mindfully and trust your body will break it down and you move on from it. But being present with food is so important, and having healthy ways to cope with your emotions is so important. So that's always where I suggest people start. And we've got to let go of using food as a punishment and control, and exercise as a punishment and control. And as you build your worth, you don't need to look like anyone. You set your own goals for yourself because you love yourself. You respect yourself and your body. Every body has a natural set point. So your weight will go where it's natural, and it will likely be a place you're happy with because you love yourself, right? So we've got to go inside and build the worth. My last suggestion is honestly do a social media cleanse. Unfollow people that trigger you. Unfollow people that you're obsessed with, that you're trying to look like, that you likely never will, because it's photoshopped. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not real. So it's like start to disconnect from this illusion that we've been sold, because it's going to help you take your power back.
Yeah. So like for us, we always, I mean, and I know for Dylan and I specifically, exercise is an outlet for us. That's a mental health break. That's something that we do for ourselves. Like we enjoy it. So obviously it's a win-win. But that's what we choose to do for ourselves. We don't do it for a certain reason other than that. That's literally the main driver of why we do what we do. But, when it comes to the other things that, we're in this weird place right now where we have guys that just, I'll give an example of myself here, actually. So when I became pre-diabetic, when my doctor said, hey, you're getting too big, you need to fix it. I didn't know. I had no idea that I was gaining the weight that I did until, you know, I had that. And then I looked at a video of myself and I was like, oh, wow, I am getting pretty big. That's crazy. So I educated myself, on nutrition and all that kind of stuff. I also have a personal trainer as a sister, who gave me some basic ideas, but all I really did was just change to Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a diet. I didn't stick to macros or calories or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I just ate generally well when I did eat. So that, and that shed pounds like crazy. Mm-hmm. And that like made me, and I just generally felt great. I felt good. So all like the mental health aspect changed, my body changed, everything just generally felt better. So it's not like you have to follow a diet, because I didn't at all. And I still don't. I still don't really.
Yeah.
I just eat generally well when I can. I try to get more proteins in because I'm trying to get a certain size, and it's not because I need to look a certain way. It's because I want to. Mm-hmm. That's what I enjoy. And I think when I want to see my progress as I work out, that's the only reason. So I believe it's a healthy way why I'm exercising. And, you know, it's just one of those things where just eat whole foods, do a little bit of exercise, you'll see the change. And I'm a testament to that.
And don't force it, guys. Like, as someone who has dieted to the extremes on both ends, like I was at one point in 2014, I was eating 11,000 calories a day, every day. And in 2 years later, in 2016, I was in contest prep from January 1st till August 1st, literally dieting as hard as you possibly can, doing as hard as possibly can with cardio. I've been at both ends of the spectrum. And what I can tell you is it takes a long time, and it's going to take effort to get into those healthier habits of eating mindfully. When you say what you had just said, a lot of guys will shake their head and think it's wishy-washy bullshit, but it's not. It is not. When I'm sitting here telling you from personal experience, when you eat when you're ready to eat, when you put the fork down when you feel full, when you start doing these things, I tracked my macros 2 weeks ago, and every day I was in within 100 calories. I wasn't giving myself a certain diet. I was eating what I normally ate, but I wanted to see where my macros were. And I was eating around 3,000 calories. And you can ask Shane, like I'm the biggest I've been in several years, and the healthiest I've been, the strongest I've been, and the most mentally clear I've been. But when I tracked these macros every day, I was eating the same types of foods, the foods that made me feel good. Mm-hmm. I was eating at certain times. There's a couple days where I ate quote unquote junk food. I didn't feel bad for it. I didn't do extra cardio. In that week, I think I was within 200 to 300 calories every day. The macros were off, but what I realized in that moment was like, oh, I'm eating this food mindfully without even thinking about it. I'm the healthiest I've been. And I don't even have to try and track my macros because my body figured it out for me.
Totally. And just one more thing to add before we move on here, like, and you could probably be a testament to this, Amber. This what the scale tells you is bullshit.
Oh yeah.
I've been 180 pounds for 4 months. Mm-hmm. But if you've seen the body transformation from 180 pounds of being, you know, of fat to, you know, transitioning to still half and half, I'm not saying I'm just this jack guy, but I generally have put on muscle.
Yeah, your body composition has changed.
It's becoming
healthier.
So the scale doesn't tell you shit. You see it go up and you go down, and even in a day, you know, you check it in the morning, you're 175. You check it in the evening, you're 186, and you're just like, what? How did that happen? But I mean, that comes with just understanding you're lightest in the morning, and you use your body throughout the day. You eat lots of foods and stuff hydrate like that. Yourself. And hydrate yourself, water retention, all that fun stuff. Mm. So if you're asking me, throw that scale away. It doesn't do anything for you.
I agree 100%. Get rid of it, because all it tells you is your full mass of gravity. And that's really such a minute measurement of like measuring progress with your mental health, measuring progress with building confidence and building self-worth, measuring progress with eating whole foods and nourishing your body. Because, and it's not just mindful eating because it's woo-woo. It's like, how long do you want to be here? How long do you want your life to be in? And nourishment, food is medicine. Mindful eating and nourishing your body because you love and respect your body in this vessel that allows you to live life is so important, because it adds years onto your life. It adds quality of life onto those years. Right. And so that's where like, we're so conditioned that these things are woo and, or that it's like fluffy and soft. And it's like, well, you can view it in that way because you've been conditioned to, or you can empower yourself and do what feels good, because it's your life, it's your body, it's your health. And ditch the scale, your water retention can change so much. Like when I binge, I would weigh in like five times through the day, and in the morning it would be like the highest, and then it would drop two by the afternoon and drop a couple, right? Cause like we retain a lot of water, and if you have candida, you'll retain more water. If you have certain hormone imbalances, you'll retain more water. Food sensitivities. So it is get rid of it. Go by how you feel and measure your progress. Take time to be proud of yourself for eating better, for ditching the extreme diets, for getting into mindful eating, for exercising because it makes you feel good. Like we have to take time to build ourselves up rather than putting and needing validation from other people. It's not other people's jobs to validate us and to put our worth in what they think of us. It's our job and responsibility. If someone compliments you, great, but we've got to stop putting that kind of expectation on other people. And that's why building worth is so important, because it's like you're your own cheerleader and it's your job to like do your deeper work to own yourself and own your confidence.
Yeah. And just to speak on the water retention thing, as a fighter, I had to cut weight. So, normally, like I said, I walked around about 140, but 132 is my fighting weight. So that's kind of what I tried to maintain, but you know, I cut 8 pounds in a day and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just on water weight.
Like, totally.
So for the listeners who don't understand what we're saying, that's what that means. It means you can cut probably 10 pounds fairly easy on water retention. So don't worry about that damn scale. That's
well, and I was going to point out to the athletes, right? It's like, you're seeing this more and more with specifically fighters. They're fighting at their natural weight. They're not like a lot of these organizations are even saying, you know, we're done with this weight cutting thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Well, it's so unhealthy.
It's so bad. Yeah. But this has been a fantastic conversation. I could probably talk to you for hours about this. But Amber, before we get going here, can you give the listeners an idea of where they can find you and what your podcast is called?
Yeah. So my podcast is called the No Sugar Coating Podcast. And I talk a lot more about what we talked about today. I do base it more on women. However, the messages are the same for men and women the same. And then my website is amberapproved.ca. If you're curious, if you're struggling with emotional eating, I have a quiz there. If you have questions or you want to connect, you can contact me from there as well. And I'm on Instagram and it's just my name, Amber Romaniuk, R-O-M-A-N-I-U-K.
Perfect. Well, Shane, do you have any closing thoughts?
No, just thanks so much for doing this. This is kind of something that's unique to our show, of kind of the first time we talked in depth about, you know, eating disorders, nutrition, proper intake and all that kind of stuff. And I really, it is so important in every aspect when it comes to mental health, physical health. Basically everything you do in a general day is what you put in your body.
Totally. And that was, you know, the main focus of having Amber on the show, was, you know, I'd been following her on Instagram for quite some time and the message was the exact same as what I would tell our men when it comes to habits and nutrition and what you see yourself with the self-worth. You know, we put a little bit of masculinity and a little alpha male onto it, but it's the messaging is the exact same.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I really wish, because we have men in our lives that we personally know who are struggling with this day in and day out. And I'm really looking forward to sharing this episode. So Amber, thank you so much for doing this. We truly appreciate it. I'm going to keep you on the line here. Thank you everybody for tuning in.
Thanks.
Stop recording. There we go.